so much, Ms. Burke. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning. It is Father's Day. Let me say again, happy Father's Day. Amen. Kind of look through the camera here. I believe my dad's watching, and so happy Father's Day to you, my dad. Amen. And then let me say to everybody in the building out in Radio Land, one of the greatest needs of this nation, people, is fathers. They step up and be the father that they ought to be. I believe that this day is a day to celebrate men that have fulfilled the role and done it right, and even for those that did their best. And so I'm thankful for my dad. I'm thankful for those that have really done the work and put in the work of dad. I think that we have a perfect, and it was just being sung about, our Heavenly Father. And, there are people that have all kinds of ideas of who dad ought to be. And, but you'd never go wrong trying to be and act and emulate our Father in heaven. Amen. He is a just God, a holy God. I think that it'd do us well to have some holy fathers, amen, in the home, to be just, amen, to be merciful, to be sacrificial of what cost us the most in love for our children, amen. And so I think this morning as we turn, if you'll turn to Luke chapter 15, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture, and oftentimes it is called the parable, a parable of the prodigal son. And this morning, I'd like for you to see it as the parable of the Father. The parable of the Father. You know, when Jesus begins speaking here, he doesn't say anything about the prodigal right out of the gate. He says, a certain man had two sons. I find in this life that there are fathers who, and I can't say for certain, always did everything exactly right. But I have learned, and I've been a father long enough to realize that you can teach your kids right. You can teach them the Word of God. You can emulate and be an example before them, but they don't always choose to do right. They have to be taught to do right. You know, I didn't teach my kids to lie. They did that on their own. They got it from their mom. I mean, Not really. But you know, I mean, yes. But I mean, we can laugh about those things, right? But I'm here to tell you that as believers, we realize that sin nature is born into our children. And the sad fact, on Father's Day, we realize it really isn't mom that gave it to him. It passes from father to the children. It came from Adam all the way down to our children. And sin passed upon all men. And we have a wonderful Heavenly Father who sent his only begotten Son, the only one that could come and redeem man back into himself unto God. And he died on Calvary and was raised again on the third day, and gave us what we know today as the good news of the gospel, because we don't have to go to a devil's hell. We can be saved and go to heaven because of what Jesus did for us on Calvary. Here we see a father and a picture of a pretty good one, one that I believe taught some things. And I want to see that. Our time is limited this morning, but I want to preach to you right out of here at the chapter. And I want you to see this from the aspect of the father. Mostly when we read this and preach it, we talk about the prodigal who went astray. But I want you to see the father who stayed home, prayed for him to come home. One that trusted in the Word of God that it would not return void, that one day he would come home because of what he was taught in the house. Let's pray together before we begin to read this morning. Dear God, we come to you, and Lord, we just beg you that if there's one in the building today that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, today I pray that would be the day of salvation. Holy Spirit of God, I pray you would do the work, that you would go into the heart. As my lips begin to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray that, Holy Spirit of God, you would draw men to the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray if there's a father here that, Lord, today that he sees something in your word that he needs to begin doing for his family. Lord, I pray you'd strengthen families with the message today. Lord, I pray that today that fathers would be honored, Lord, for doing right and for keeping their family in church and in the Bible. Well, thank you and praise you for all that's done. We ask it in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. In Luke chapter 14, I want to begin reading in verse number 10. He just has finished here giving talking about the lost coins here. And he says in verse number 10, "Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." The idea here and going into the next story, everything here has been one more soul. Rejoicing over the one that would come home and be saved. And we enter into the story or the parable here of the father. And we see in verse number 11, it says, "And he said, a certain man has two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him them his living. And not many days after, the younger," it says here, "son gathered all together and took his journey." And I like this, he says, "into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." Now, you may not read this into the story, but I believe that this young man was ashamed to do the things. He loved his father enough that he wouldn't do it right in dad's backyard. He had enough respect for what his father had taught him that he took it down the road a little ways where nobody would know dad, nobody would know who he was, but he went down and lived with riotous living. He goes on and he reads here, he says in verse 14, "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. And he began to be in want, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed the swine, and he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came unto himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father's house. I'm going to rise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to the servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now the story doesn't stop there. Look at verse 25. Now the elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. I want you to see this morning that there are two sons, and neither one of them handled the situation right. But in the middle of the situation and right in the midst of the parable, you find a father who loves both his sons. One that had left home and one that stayed home. Do you know a lot of times in our lives we don't really read into this story? I believe, he's the father of a prodigal son. He's father of a prideful son. He's the father of a practical son. Do you realize when the prodigal came to himself, who do you think taught him to be practical? Do you realize he didn't steal? He went off and did unthinkable things and wasted his living. But when he came to himself in the hog pen, a place a little Jewish boy should never have been, It says that he would have fed himself with what the swine did eat, but he didn't steal it and eat it. He was hungered. He had, even though there were some things his dad taught him that he still wasn't ready to let go of. And when he came to himself, he realized, you know, my dad's house, one learned in this story to swallow his pride and go home where he could be helped. And the one that stayed home, we don't really know whether he got right. Both had pride. Do you know that the real issue of man is pride? Even as a little boy, I was so proud of my dad. I mean, I started out with, my dad is bigger than your dad. Now, my dad's not very big, so after a while, when I started realizing other people are bigger than my dad, I said, my dad is smaller than your dad, but he can still beat your dad down. Right? I mean, that's where we are as little kids. We're prideful of those things. Now, some of those things are good pride, but we find here in the scripture that there's some pride coming out. Do you know that what happened a long time ago when Satan was thrown out of heaven, pride welled up inside of him? Do you know the man, humans today, are lost because of pride? I don't know if you believe that Adam and his, you know, we know he sinned and broke the commandment of God, but you know that pride can make you do that. Pride, and he knows he was told not to do it, but his wife had fallen into sin. And for me, I don't know, but maybe in his pride, he, instead of choosing God, he chose his wife. Instead of choosing the right, he chose to join in the wrong. You know, Brother Jesse's been preaching a lot about sin this week out there in hell. He's been preaching about Jesus coming back. Amen. And knowing for sure that you're on your way to heaven. In this story, I see so many different things, but I see a father who loved both his sons. One that had worked his whole life and was very important to him. He had been telling his kids their whole life. This prodigal didn't just get the idea, I'm going to get an inheritance from my father. This was under the law. He was guaranteed this portion that he was given. Not just that, but I think his dad had been teaching him those things. One day, all this is going to be yours, boys. One day, this farm, this land, this work, the reason we're working, the reason we're doing those things. And you know what I've learned over the years? There are some guys that are thankful for what their father has built and what they've given them. You know, I found that there are some that don't want anything to do with what daddy has done. There are some just like the prodigal that don't want anything to do with what their dad built, what their dad invested in their life. And really, to be honest with you, there's nothing wrong with it, but doesn't mean that you take your investment, that investment of his life, and go squander it. It's a bad investment as well. Think about this father. I don't know about you, but I can read in some things. I see that his daddy taught the prodigal loyalty. Look at verse 14. He's spent everything he's had. Look at verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. All right, and he began to be in want, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Now, I want you to see, number one, that he went and joined himself. I believe that his dad taught him loyalty. Now, he really didn't. He didn't show a whole lot of loyalty when he said, Dad, give me everything that's due me, and I'm going to leave and go waste it, did he? But you know, usually, sometimes when people come to themselves and realize how they ought to be loyal, they've been taught that sometimes they have to lose things. You know, sometimes we talk about our kids have to hit a brick wall in their lives before they realize how important it was. I see this prodigal, he realized he should have been loyal, and he joins himself to a citizen of that country. And I see loyalty. He joins himself. He's given a job. He was taught to work. He's joined himself. He goes down to the hog pen. This is a Jewish boy that didn't know anything about hogs, and he learns and goes to work and slops the hogs every day. And when he could have eaten what the hogs ate, he didn't steal. But I see that his dad taught him to think and be practical. And when he finally came to himself, when he was ready to swallow his pride, his dad had taught him there was a place that he could always come. Wouldn't it be great if everybody that has ever been saved and in this church or in this town that grew up in a church that they knew that no matter how far they went away from God, there was a place they could come back to? Not a place that they're going to be judged and everybody's going to be evil and mean to them, But when they do come to themselves and realize that they went out and spent the early years of their lives on the devil and the world, and when they realize how precious the gift of God was, that they were saved, that they had a life that they could invest in the work of God, you don't think that when they come to themselves, they don't realize all them things? They don't always need to come back to a I told you so place. What they desperately need to know is that they have a heavenly Father and men and women in a church, a family that will welcome them home. The sad problem that I find is that we are not the heavenly Father. We ought to try to strive to be like him. But when they come home and come back to God's house, it's his house, and they're coming to see him, not me or you. But oftentimes, we're so busy, we won't come in from the work and be a part of the party when God brings them home. We're wanting to go, well, how come we're so thankful for the one that's come back from his wayward life and he's lived and spent his years out on the world and everything else? Hey, I've never left. I've been here the whole time. Why didn't you have a party for me? Hey, folks, do you know that this young man in the story, his party was coming? Hey, church, for those that were faithful, there's a party coming. Do you realize that the two of these people, the one that stayed home and worked in the field, and he said, you're ever with me, one day he was going to reach heaven's shores, you know, good picture of heaven and the heavenly Father, and he's going to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Guess which one's not going to hear that? The one that was welcomed back. The one that was, was given everything and every opportunity to come home. But it doesn't mean that this still ain't the best place for him. He realized, listen, my dad's got hired servants that live better than I'm living. Hey, my dad's got, he's got the best clothes and shoes, but I don't need any of that. I just need to go back home where I can be fed and get the basic things that I need for this life. Do you know that this book is not just a book of these and thous and commandments? It's a book of peace, love, joy, happiness. This book is a book that lets us know that we can walk and talk with the Heavenly Father. We can live close to him and have a relationship that will extend into eternity. And too many times when we leave home, we realize we don't realize how precious the relationship with the Father really was. And we realize, most of us don't realize how precious it was until we leave. You know, there's a lot of teenagers that leave home thinking mom and dad are the dumbest people on planet Earth. But in very short order, they realize the wisdom that they grew up under. And then they're thankful. But you know, a lot of them have to leave like the prodigal. He came to himself. I can see, the points. You'd have heard it preached before, the prodigal son. He came to himself. He humbled himself. And then he said, could you just hire me? Think about the right attitude. I have sinned against heaven. You know, nobody really understands and really is really repentive until they realize that they sinned against heaven. Do you know everybody in the church, folks? Can I just remind you, just like this father, I'm sure I'm looking at people, you've had somebody in the church that has wronged you before. Whether they knew they were doing it or they didn't know they were doing it. Do you know this brother had no intention to hurt his brother? I don't think he really took into account that, I'm going to leave home, take half of everything. You can only imagine. I've worked in business. I've been a part of the church's business for a long time. I've been in my own business. You can't just cut everything down the middle, or even if you want to argue that he only took a third or whatever he took, you can't just take and whack off the piece of the business and the business doesn't hurt from that. That it doesn't reel a little bit from dissolving assets and giving the funds to someone. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, the business was hurt for it. I can tell he didn't realize when he did that, he had no intention to hurt his brother or his father. He just wanted to go. He just wanted to go and do what he wanted to do. He wanted to be the boss. You know those people that go off into the military and say, I don't want anybody to tell me what to do anymore. I'm going in the military. Yeah. Amen. I mean, when we have military folks stand, I should take a poll. How many of you left home and said, I don't want to be told what to do anymore, so I'm going to join the military, right? Hey, folks, I'm just telling you that they find out in short order. It doesn't matter really where you go. There's somebody there to tell you what to do. And I see in the Father some things that I want to preach on today. Listen, he was a father to both his sons. He was one, and I see, first of all, look at the scripture with me, if you would, in verse number 20. He says, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I see, first of all, that his dad was watching. Even though his child had grown up, even though his son was, for all intents and purposes, had resigned his position in the business of the family, he had taken everything, he squandered all, his dad still was brokenhearted, loved him, knew he was away from God, and without a doubt, almost like Job, he had been offering day after day for the sins of his son. Calling upon God to bring him home. God, break him, but don't break him so much that you can't build him back up. God, bring him back to your good graces. Bring him back to my home. God, help him. He's doing wrong, and he knows better. Help him. Put a hedge of protection. You know, I don't know where the prodigal could have ended up, but it could have been a lot worse situations than the hog pen. There could have been a lot lower bottom end on his life, but I think there was a daddy that was praying that God would watch over him and bring him home. And he not only, listen, do you know what? You know, when you pray for rain, I take an umbrella when I pray for rain. You know what I'm talking about? And if you're a daddy praying for your son to come home, what would you be doing every day when you finish praying? You'd be looking down the road to see if he's coming. Is it going to be today, Lord? You going to bring him home today? Because I know God is mighty. I know God can do all above all that I could ever ask or think. I know that he's a great God. And even though my son is out there in the world, I know that he's a sinner. I know that he's not doing right. I know that my Father in heaven can change his heart. If he can change the heart of a king, he can change the heart of a young man, a young woman, and bring them home. Bring my child back to me, God. You know that they know right. Hey, folks, I don't know about you, but I found a father who was praying and watching so that God would bring his child back. How about this? There was warmth. Not just watching, but I see warmth in this father. You know, if we're not careful, you know, I remember when my son, I told the story before, and I don't have time to tell it this morning, but we thought he had run down the road. He was just small, really wouldn't have known any better, but he knew enough to stay in the house. And we thought he had run off. We thought he had escaped the house and run for the hills, you know, and we were looking everywhere for him. But we found him asleep underneath one of the coffee tables, tucked up behind the couch, and he had been in the house the whole time. But when he came out of there, he didn't find warmth. We were so scared for him. We had been hunting and praying that he'd come home, that he'd be there safely. We were ready to kill him. You know what I'm talking about? Hey, folks, this daddy, I don't know what he had come to grips with in his life, but he had come to a place that he had resigned himself, that when his son came home, when he made it down the street, there wasn't going to be anger. There wasn't going to be, I told you so, in wrath. But there was going to be compassion. Do you know, I don't know about you, but when I'm really acting like the Heavenly Father, he doesn't receive me home with a, I told you so. He doesn't receive me home with, you knew better and you did it anyway. I feel like when I come to God and I've been broken and I've been away from him, when I come home, I feel him fall on my neck. I feel loved and welcomed home. Folks, you say, that sounds liberal, preacher. Aren't you supposed to be hard on sin? Yes, and the righteous, holy judge isn't going to let any of it go. But I also know that he sent his son, and he shed his blood to pay for every one of them that I'll bring before him and say, God, I'm so sorry for this. I've sinned against heaven and against you, Dad, and I'm so sorry for it. Listen, folks, I love to sing the songs that it's under the blood, because whether you act like it or not, whether you think about it or not, I look out at a sea of sinners today who have their sins under the blood of Jesus Christ. And if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ, we'd all be in a heap of trouble. We'd all be buried under a world, a life of sin and debt to God, and be separated from him still. Boy, can I just tell you this morning, I see compassion. I see warmth in this father. Before his son ever broke through the gate, Dad was out of the house running to meet him. So glad that he was home, and fell upon his neck and kissed him. Look at verse 21. I see a father who is willing to listen in verse 21. The dad never says anything. The only action of welcoming his son home and falling on his neck and kissing him. In verse 21, and the son said unto the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Do you know, when I come home to God, I find him always willing to listen. Not telling me all the things I did wrong and reading me the riot act and going, taking me back to scripture and telling me what I've done wrong. He's always listening for me to give my apology, to beg him to forgive, to answer my call for mercy and grace in my time of need. Hey, folks, on Father's Day, there's no better father than the Father in heaven.
Amen.
I see in verse 22 and verse 24, 22 to 24, he says, but the father said unto the servants, the father still never answers his son. The apology's been given, and immediately, rather than words, there's action from that father. He says, but the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Folks, I don't know about you, but not just the sinner, but the wayward. When they come home, they ought to come home and find a place where somebody's been watching, waiting for them to come back, because God, they knew God could do it. A place that was warm and welcoming and willing to listen to what God had brought them through and brought them home. And a place that ultimately would be welcoming them back into the family. Do you know, on Father's Day, you say, well, you want me to praise fathers? Listen, I'm going to praise the Heavenly Father. Because there's fathers all over this room, and I can tell you that there have been times I've had opportunity to meet my prodigal just this way, and I've failed them to be just like the Heavenly Father. But I'm going to tell you, the older I get, the more I pray to be just like the Heavenly Father. Listen, do you realize that when the other son had need, do you know just because you stayed don't mean that you didn't have sin? Just because you've not been the prodigal and gone wayward, maybe you're here today and you're sitting in the church and a prodigal has come back and you got a problem with the prodigal. I've been here the whole time. This place is only for righteous people. Well, what are you doing here then? You're only here because you've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. This place isn't for hypocrites. Well, we better all get up and leave. Hey, this place ain't for sinners. Then what is a church for?
That's right.
When I grew up, my preacher used to call the church house a hospital.
Amen.
A place to patch up and heal up and serve up healing, grace, mercy, and peace.
Hey.
Even when we go out and tell other people about Jesus Christ, it's sharing with them that there's a place they can find healing. There's a person they can believe in that can take care of the sin that has so easily beset them in their lives. And they can come back to a Savior who will take care of all of it. Listen this morning. There's a Heavenly Father that's been watching for you to come home. He's been watching afar off. And if you'll make the first step this morning, maybe the first step was coming back to his house, but maybe you'll step out and come and meet him at the aisle and leave your sin and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. Do you know what he'd be if you'd do that? If you'd step out and just come for salvation, he's watching for you to come. You'll find a warm reception from this preacher and from this church that you've gone away, but that you've come home. You say, man, really? Yeah. You'd find somebody willing to listen. I don't want to know all about your sins, but I want to know what God's done in your life to bring you back to Him. Amen. That you've gotten it under the blood and got it right with Him. How about this? Would I be welcome, preacher, to come back to the church? You'd be welcome. If it's under the blood, and you decided to put on the robe of righteousness again, if you've been willing to put on the ring and signify that you're one of His own. Hey, folks, I don't know about you, but if you'd be willing to slip on the shoes, the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, when you come home and you realize how many people are out there and need the gospel, you can't help but slip on those shoes. You can't help. You just were hanging out with people who are lost and on their way to hell. You can't wait to put on those slippers and go back and tell them about the hope that lies within you. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, this parable about the Father is a Father who's much like our Heavenly Father that is welcoming. Listen, He'd welcome you home today. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, He'd welcome you in salvation. He'd welcome you in salvation, and He'd give you mercy and grace to cover your sins, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and give you a home in His house. Hey, folks, if you're here and you've gone away from God, you say, well, I'm just here because it's Father's Day. I came to be with my dad. I'm just here. Maybe you've gone wayward and astray. Maybe you need to come home. Maybe you need to join the church today. Maybe you need to get some things under the blood and ask the Father to forgive you. He'll welcome you home. And so will we. Hey, maybe you're here and you've been the older brother. And you've been sitting in the pew with your arms crossed. I can't believe we let sinners in this place. I can't believe they keep doting on people. They keep giving robes and shoes and Bibles to those that act so bad. Hey, folks, this is a hospital. Why don't you come? This isn't, you know, in this scripture, let me remind you this. The brother says, he tells the father, now that your son has come home, you want to throw a party. He didn't say my brother. Do you know what separates the Christian from all the rest of the world? Jesus said that the world would know us because of the love we have for each other. The love of the brethren. Listen, folks, I don't know where you're at today, and you don't have to be hating against somebody. All you have to do is have a problem with the brethren this morning. And you need to enter back into sweet fellowship with the Father and say, you know what? God, help me love my brother like I ought to. God, help me show to the world how true and good salvation really is because I love the people of God like I used to. Hey, folks, whatever it is that God asked you to do this morning, it's Father's Day. Why don't you get right with the Father this morning? With heads bowed and eyes closed, stand to our feet. Brother Bert's going to come. If you're here and you need to be saved or you need to come home to the Father, why don't you step out and come this morning? As the music gets ready to play, I'm going to step out and meet you in the front. Whatever God has asked you to do, why don't you do it this morning as the music plays?
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Would you bow your head? head with me this morning, this is an invitation. You're invited to step out and come forward. It's an old-fashioned thing that the church has been doing for ages. Maybe you've never stepped out and walked an old-fashioned aisle, but there are folks around you that will go with you that are members of our church if you don't want to come by yourself. If you're here and you need to be saved, why don't you step out and come and let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. If you're here and you need to join the church, step out and come. We'll take and just talk to you about baptism or moving your letter. Whatever God's asked you to do, if the church would pray, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you need to come, we invite you to come as Brother Bert sings.
Just as I am and wait.
Some have come. There's time for you to come. Maybe even holding out. You say, boy, I hope they don't sing another hymn. There's one more for you this morning. You've been holding on and you've been just, you know you need to come. You know God's working in your life. You know the Heavenly Father is speaking in your heart this morning that you need to be saved. That you need to walk an old-fashioned aisle and get it under the blood and get it right and come home and be welcomed in. Whatever it is that God's been doing with you this morning and in your heart, don't resist Him any longer. On this verse, step out and come. Folks, if you would bow your heads and pray and beg God to welcome somebody home this morning because they stepped out and came, why don't you do that as Brother Bert sings?
Just as I am, Thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because Thy promise I believe. O Lamb of God, I call, I call.
We'll let you be seated. We have some things to share with you.